Morning, everyone. Needless to say, I said yes to Peter before realising the passage. But there you go. He was on the plane before I could blink. Perhaps we should pray. Loving God, we thank you that we can come before you now as your word is open to us. Would you speak to each of us? Give us understanding. Help your word to come deep into our hearts and to bring about change. Give us hope for the future, we pray, our God. May your Holy Spirit come now and come in power, we pray, all because of Jesus. Amen. Last time I said we were ordinary people with an extraordinary God. And today, I've got to say there's nothing ordinary about kingdom people, because kingdom people live their lives on the edge of eternity. Frank was the most ordinary person, just like you and me. He was one of nine children and he grew up in Wonthaggi. His father was a coal miner, his mother a tough Scot. Frank was raised as a child to hate the church. He was incredibly shy all his life. He worked as a motor mechanic and a cleaner for 6 days a week, raised his three children through school and university. He lost an eye at age 21. His wife was constantly hospitalised throughout their marriage. Eventually they separated, yet she died in his arms. Two of his three adult children abandoned Frank. God was not obviously a part of his life. Maybe he never understood, or maybe in a subtle way he just resisted God. But one day he found himself on the edge of eternity. Luke 13, this passage speaks to us about the kingdom of God. Some 100 times in the New Testament the kingdom of God is mentioned, so who knows that it's got to be really important to God. But it can't be located. It's not a place. It's the reign of God. It's the rule of God. It's where God's will is done. Luke 17:20 says that the kingdom of God doesn't come through observation, nor will they say, "See here, see there." For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you, or among you. And elsewhere in the Gospels, we're exhorted to receive the kingdom of God like a little child. And elsewhere, that those who do God's will enter the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God, God's rule, is in the future, in eternity, as we see in this passage. But it's also here and now, breaking into the world. In verses 18 to 21, the kingdom of God is seen as a mustard seed or yeast working its way through dough. It's slow. It happens gradually. It builds. And just as the kingdom of God one day will build to transform the whole of this world. We see Jesus walking through the towns and the villages on the way to his final destination, Jerusalem. He taught about the kingdom of God. He brought the kingdom of God with him, and in some way the kingdom of God propelled him forward. We see him in this passage ministering through healings, dealing with the demonic, teaching a new way of living, giving hope to the poor and downtrodden, working miracles, making disciples. He didn't come as a great king to conquer, to give the people freedom from the Roman occupiers. That wasn't what he was all about. They expected that. They expected Messiah, the one sent from God, to bring them freedom. He came instead to bring people, Jews and Gentiles, you and me, into relationship with God, so that they and we would become kingdom people living on the edge of eternity. There's a question in verse 23 about how many are in, how many are out. Good question, you'd think. But it's pushed aside by Jesus. The real question becomes, how? Not how many. How? What are kingdom people all about? In verse 24, the way into the kingdom is not exactly easy. There's a narrow door. It's not like standing outside Myers on Boxing Day, you know, waiting for those doors to open and in people rush. When the doors are flung open and spend, 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 the door to the kingdom of God is narrow because you can't easily barnstorm the kingdom. You can't grab it, you can't get it in some senses. The kingdom of God comes through the presence of God, through a relationship with God. The narrow door is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and He is the way in. Door is narrow because we've got some personal responsibility in our relationship with God. Verse 24 requires every effort. Verse 34, it happens because we're willing. Verse 26, it's not enough to know about Jesus, to go through the motions, to have a passing acquaintance with Jesus. Rather, it's all in the knowing, in being connected to God. It comes through a real, life-giving relationship with God. The sinner's prayer or the four spiritual laws are, of course, very popular in evangelical churches. They're seen as our evangelical tickets to heaven. But Billy Graham, you know what he said when he was asked, Billy, what will you say when you first get to heaven? Billy replied, he said, I'll say, well, I'm sure glad I actually made it here. I think if Billy Graham can say that, then none of us can afford to walk in presumption. Because Philippians 2:12 exhorts us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's a working out. It's a process through a lifetime. The last thing in the world I think any of us would want to hear at the end of our days, verse 25, I don't know you. I don't know where you've come from. Get away from me. Working out our salvation happens through a lifetime. It's not quick and easy. There may well be that initial decision of commitment, that point of time that you just know. And that's good and that's right. But it's our responsibility over a lifetime to know God and be known by God. And that is why the door is narrow. But who knows that knowing God and being known by God is hard going? Yeah? It's not natural, is it? We fight it. Everything within us rebels against that relationship with God. We fight it. We wrestle with God like Jacob of old, who had his thigh bone broken. We demand our way. We want to do what we want to do. No holding back. No boundaries. No limits. Yet, kingdom people, living their lives on the edge of eternity, realize that their relationship with God is fragile. It needs nurturing. And their salvation needs to be worked out over a lifetime. Kingdom people struggle to maintain their relationship with God. They know their own inadequacies. They know that their ordinary lives drive them away from God. They know that they need to do serious business with God about removing anything in their ordinary lives which blocks and stops them from knowing God and being known by God. Kingdom people living on the edge of eternity realize that the door is narrow. They can't afford to walk in presumption. in their relationship with God, and yet behind that door is grace. God's amazing grace through the person of Jesus Christ. And there's an abundance of grace that would draw you and me, kingdom people, to become kingdom people, to go through that narrow door, to receive salvation. Salvation, a saving relationship with God. Kingdom people living on the edge of eternity, we know that it's not head knowledge. It's heart knowledge. Yeah? It's heart to heart with God. It's a relationship that can transform our lives here and now. Kingdom people living on the edge of eternity are not just ordinary people going about their ordinary lives, just coping with the things that life brings, shooting up an occasional prayer when help is needed, turning up to church because somehow it's right. That's not kingdom stuff. Kingdom people living on the edge of eternity know that the kingdom of God is here and now, that the feast in the kingdom of God, in verse 29, is in the future, in eternity, but the party is happening here and now, in the midst of the ordinariness of their lives. About 4 years ago, I had a 50th birthday party. It was a pretty wild time. Believe it or not, don't look like that, do I? But fancy dress and karaoke was all the rage that evening. I do a great YMCA, let me tell you. In my youth, my nickname was Disco Dave, I have you know. So it was one of those crazy, unforgettable nights. But that's nothing compared to this feast. The feast in the kingdom of God. Can you just imagine in the kingdom of God, assuming we get there, in the kingdom of God, there we are at the feast, sitting down with, what does this passage say? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets. What a crazy feast that'll be. Talk about karaoke and fancy dress. I mean, they'll all be there in their Old Testament garb, of course, so they're there in fancy dress. And say I'm sitting next to them, I mean, you know, Abraham, give me that next vanilla slice. Isaac, another slice of pizza would be really good. Jacob, open the next bottle of red, please. It'll be wonderful. And the conversation, can you imagine? Abraham, how on earth did you go about having that baby at age 100? You know? Imagine the conversation. Imagine the feast. And who's at the head of the table? Jesus Christ. Won't that be tremendous? The party is here and now. But yes, it's in eternity. That'll be some feast. At the end of this age, all the peoples from the world will be gathered there in this future heavenly kingdom. Not necessarily the Jews by birthright, but definitely those made righteous by salvation in Jesus. There'll be people we wouldn't expect to be there, because we don't know one another's hearts, do we? Our friends, our family. We don't know who's going to be there. We don't know who's in, who's out. The rich and the famous may well be last on the invitation list. The homeless, the poor, the rejected, the sick, the disabled, they may well be the first. That's the reality of the kingdom of God. We just don't know who's going to be in heaven and how many will be there, because only God can judge each of our hearts. Our responsibility as kingdom people living on the edge of eternity is to actually live out our faith, to be grace bearers in our homes and workplaces. You want some practical application? Link is it. I was involved in Link some many years ago in another church. It's fantastic. Just rolling up your sleeves and doing the work of the kingdom to help people in need. Really good stuff. We've got to be there for people where there's fractured relationships, to offer love, acceptance and forgiveness, to listen every day and to respond to the hurts and the needs of our family and our work colleagues, to be there for them, to respond generously to the needs of the poor and the needy, and the homeless. To live for others more than for ourselves is really what it's all about. To offer hope and salvation to a broken and needy world. To be disciples of Jesus Christ, impacting our community for the common good. To see people healed. To give words of wisdom, knowledge, comfort, care, prophecy. This is all the stuff of the kingdom. It's the stuff for kingdom people living out their lives on the edge of eternity. So there's responsibility in this relationship with God, and that's why the door is narrow. But do you know why else the door is narrow? There's the cost. It's costly to be kingdom people living on the edge of eternity. It is to live out our lives for others, to love and to serve others, to transform society with the salvation and love of God. And yes, it may even cost us our lives. The cost is also why the door is narrow. Our inspiration as kingdom people is the person of Jesus, the Son of God. In this passage, he's on his way to Jerusalem. He knows that's his appointed place of death. It's not so much a holy city for a chosen race of people with the temple door open just to the Jewish nation. In verses 31 to 33, we see Jesus pushing aside the Pharisees, his detractors. He hears rumours about Herod, the Roman Tetrarch. A fox, he says. Don't you love it when Jesus speaks like that? What was it last week? You hypocrites! A fox! I love it with that sense of Jesus speaking out against the authorities in that godly, right way. In verse 33, Jesus said, I believe these are words for many people here today. Jesus said, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day. These are words which he is speaking to us as his kingdom people today. Don't give up. Do press on. Don't walk away from me. Go about ministry and mission no matter what. Reach that goal. Fulfill your destiny until the very end. And do it with passion, with zeal, with determination. That is what Jesus would be saying to us today, his kingdom people. The door is narrow. Narrow because there's personal responsibility. Narrow because there's cost. And yet through that narrow door, there is what I said before, grace. There's life. And there's reward. It is all worthwhile. Kingdom people living on the edge of eternity, they realise that it is far, far better to know God and to be known by God. Not that passing acquaintance. Not just turning up to church for the sake of it. But heart to heart. The reality of a true meaningful relationship with God. And that through a lifetime. Yes, in verse 28 we see the weeping and gnashing of teeth, but that's not God's real heart or his desire for humanity. Of course it's not. Go to verse 34 with me. It's there that God shows us this God of grace, this God of love, this God of mercy, this God of compassion. It is there that we see the true Father heart of God for us. God longs to gather us together as his children, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. What a wonderful picture that is of a loving, caring, nurturing, protecting God. That's the God who loves us. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God desires that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the word of God to several people here today. That none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is God's grace, calling us to himself, desiring us to be kingdom people, living out our lives out of a right relationship with Him, receiving love, care, compassion, and hope for the future, enjoying the kingdom party here and now, and looking forward to the feast in the kingdom of God in the future. In this age of grace, my friends, the narrow door is open, but just for a little longer. That is what this passage is saying to us. The time is now. The opportunity is here. The door will close at the end of the age of grace. We don't know the time. Frank spent the last days of his life in a hospice, dying of leukemia in January last year. I said to him, "Dad, do you know that you'll be meeting with God real soon?" This was his last night. He was very weak. He replied, "Yes." And then, without any invitation at all from me, he started to pray. He said, "Dear Heavenly Father," he could barely get the words out, and he could go no more. "Dear Heavenly Father, I knew, and he knew, that his heart was set on eternity. A lifetime of struggle. Yet in the end, he was ready to meet with God." I said to him, "Dad, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life?" "Yes." I said, "Dad, do you look forward to meeting with him in heaven and being with him for all eternity?" "Yes." Those were the last words my dad spoke on this earth. The night was long. I held his hand, stroked his head, prayed with him, sang with him. The morning came. He slipped into eternity. Verse 35, God invites us as kingdom people to call upon Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world, and to say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." This is what kingdom people say, living on the edge of eternity, when they know God and are known by God. Kingdom people, living on the edge of eternity, can say at the end of their lives, "Dear Heavenly Father." Let's pray. Loving God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come as your kingdom people this day, laying our lives before you and asking for mercy. Loving God, we thank you for Jesus, the narrow door, the one who keeps the door yet open for a season of grace. But soon we know, our God, that that door will close. Help us, our God. Give us hope for the future. Keep us near and dear to your Father heart. I believe God is speaking today to people who are wanting to give up. Jesus would say to you in the silence now, "You must keep going today, tomorrow, and the next day, do not give up on me, your God. Just raise your hand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just raise your hand if you're one of those people where God has just been speaking to you about not giving up, no matter what you are to go on. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else. Just raise your hand and shoot it back down. Thank you, Lord. People right through this room. People right through this room. Any others, just in these closing moments, just shoot your hand up and say, I don't want to give up. Up and down go some hands. Praise God. You're doing business with God right now. This is holy ground on which we stand. Know that He loves you. There are other people here today. People who do not know God and who are not known by God. You've struggled with this message. Yes, it's a hard message. But God would right now be calling you to Himself. He would be asking you to repent, to confess your sins, and to be a child of the Most High God, a kingdom person. If that's the desire of your heart, I'm not going to embarrass you at all. Just as every head is bowed and every eye closed, would you just raise your hand if that's the prayer of your heart right now? Just shoot that hand up and back down again. There's a hand or two. Or three. Last opportunity, the narrow door will close at the end of the age of grace. We know not when. Last opportunity, just shoot your hand up and down. Three or four people, praise God. Loving God, we thank You that You are calling people to Yourself. Just as a hen, we Your chicks. Thank You that people today have found hope and refuge in You. Forgive them their sins, we pray, as they repent. Give them hope for the future, newness of life, through Jesus Christ. We thank You, our God, that we have hope and courage for the future. In Jesus' name, amen.